Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Come on, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Somebody let out an old Pentecostal hoop. Woo! 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 Hey. It's all right if you just keep going. Every now and then a church service has a different purpose. Today's purpose is to individually impart to you the presence of God, revelation and understanding, not just to the crowd, but for everybody in the room, that he has put something in you that when you let it out, there's this sense of ecstasy, there's a sense of joy, there's this great thing that happens when you realize what he's done and somehow you're able to express back to him thanks or praise or appreciation or it makes you want to love. Did that old time religion make you love everybody? Make you want to love everybody. I like the smell of it. I like the smell of it. I like the taste of it. I like the feeling of it. My God in heaven. My prayer has been that some of you would get it in your head so that you would have the facts, not just the feeling. Some people come to church, they get the feeling, but they lose the feeling because they don't have the facts. I told Nate in the last 10 days, I said, Nate, I'm trying so hard. I just want so much to be able to tell people the truth so that they can have the feeling when they're away from here. Because I'm telling you, you can ask my wife or some of my friends that are around, I believe in God and I have this feeling on me. My happy button is stuck on. I came up with that about 5 days ago. I said, Lord, what in the world? And it's like my happy button is stuck on. I told Nate, we started this conversation in the last 10 days. Nothing bad can happen to me. Terry's concerned. I have a couple more cancers. They want to do cancer surgery. You can't hurt me. You can't hurt me. The last cancer surgery I came out of, I bled for 5.5 months. And while I rested, God spoke to me, the stuff I got from God is worth more than the pain of the cancer. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. I don't know how else to say it. I'd do it again. I'd go through that again. So would you. Some of the stuff that God has given you because of what you thought was a storm, that storm was on purpose. That storm, God let that storm come. So that you'd lose. Listen to me. God, listen to me, Lori. Listen to this. When God told Noah to build the ark, listen to this, Craig. This is 3 days old. When God told Noah to build the ark, he gave him, Tony, no steering mechanism. He said, I'm going to blow you where I want you. And I'm going to set you down where you belong. Because out of Noah's kids is going to come Abraham. And out of Abraham's going to come Jesus. And we need him. And I saw myself with the newest, biggest, longest flippers right at waterline with my hands against that ark, kicking like a madman, trying to steer the sucker. And God said, I give you no... I'm just not going to let you participate in where it goes. And Nate wrote, catch the wind. You're not in control. The storm is not to define you. The storm is to get you to your destiny. And my storms did not define me, Aaron. I am not a cancer victim. It blew me into a great faith. Dev, I've got great faith in God. Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. You can't hurt me anymore. I'm nearly 60 years old. I know exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm saying. So this morning, on my way to church, I shouldn't do this while I'm driving, but I did. I saw a vision, and I want somebody that knows how to paint or whatever to do this for me. I saw like a shaft of light. You know how it breaks through a cloud? Shaft of light. Shaft of the sunshine. Have you seen it? It's just really cool when you see it all over. You see it out of the ocean, or you see it. Shaft of light. I saw a shaft of light coming out of Nate's guitar. So the music is like light. And so I wrote that, coming out of this piano, coming out of the organ, coming out of the guitar. It's like light that drives darkness out.
Let it be. Yes.
So he starts playing, and I'm going, oh yeah, play on, Nate, because I see this as the Spirit of God bringing light into somebody's darkness. And we've done it now for an hour. Why? Because some of you are just now seeing the light. Some of you just, it took an hour. Some of you came in here really screwed up by religion and really screwed up by your failure. And God just let the light keep shining until you went, oh, yeah, I was lost, but I can see now. I want somebody, somebody's got to figure out how to display or how to portray visually that the light comes out of our worship. The light comes out of you. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then he said, you are the light. This whole day is about evolving. Listen to me. This whole day is about the revelation, Deb, that not only do we get it, but he wants something to come out of us. And the coming out is better than the going in. The coming out of you is more glorious than what came in. That out of your belly shall flow rivers of living. Put my verse up for me. I forget what it is. Is this John 7? You can sit down when you're tired. Keep playing. Can you put this up for me? I think it's John. Is that John 7? 37 to 39. Put the King James up if you have it. Go King James first for me. Let's see if we can switch that to King James Version. If not, go ahead, write back the NIV. It's okay. It's just there's only one word in the King James been translated differently. In the last day, the great day of the feast, you can be seated, y'all, for just a minute. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. What's the next verse? He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, somebody say believeth on me, say it. As the scripture hath said, out, somebody say, out of his belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Somebody say, out. Would everybody together just a little louder say, out. One more time, a little bit louder than that. Just say, out. All right, now would you give me the next in the NIV? Same verse. Just hit 38. Just go to 38 in the NIV, please. Just John 7, 38. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. From you. Somebody say out. This service is about you personally. I've never been in a service that I felt so directed to think that it's, I wish you weren't touching anybody. I wish you were sitting by yourself in the presence of God. I wish you were in a chair with light on you and everything around you was dark, because God wants you to know that he is going to take you to the place where you no longer think getting is the thing, but out. Out. I know it's hard. I know some of you are not mature. I know that some of you are very selfish by nature. I know that it takes a move of God like today even to make you think that this could be possible. I know that you'll argue with me while I'm preaching this today. I know what I'm up against. But I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is going to walk you to a line, and you will realize I'm about to make a decision. My life is not for me. This money's not for me. The stuff I've got, that's not all for me. Some of this has got to come out. And the moment you step over the line, and you have, some of you, how many of you have ever let the word of the Lord come out of you to somebody and you watched it on their face, they got encouraged, you know, something's coming out of me, this is right. How many of you ever felt it? This giving is better than getting. Yeah. Come on, I know you know what I'm relating to you. I'm just telling you, here's what we do. We go back and forth from the kingdom. We get selfish, we get carnal, and then we step over into this moment and we feel real good about it. We worship with freedom. And then if everybody's not singing, or if the volume isn't loud enough, we step right back over into self-concern, inhibited. We're thinking about who we look like, what we look like, right? Am I right? But then when you get in the spirit and you get crazy, you're over here, it doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, God wants to move you over the line until you are a giver. You're giving out of you. He's already put it in. He's more than enough. You don't have to reserve grace. You don't have to reserve forgiveness. You don't have to be careful with your mercy. I hate religion. Religion is impossible. I hate it because it makes us think that we got to get forgiveness, keep coming back for forgiveness. There's enough forgiveness that you could swim in it, you could drown in it, you could drink it all, you could throw it up and drink some more, and there's more than you could ever use. You can just be free with forgiven people, quit trying to judge people, quit trying to bring differences between our churches, quit that crap and say, God, what I want is for you to come out of me. Come out of me. Come out of me, Lord. Yes. Let mercy and grace and goodness and love, let it come out of me. Let it come out of me, because there's such a mess. It's so dark and it's so terrible when we're selfish. Are you offended because I said crap?
Ooh, yeah. Just a little bit.
You don't want to get offended about that. Not right now. Because there are other words worse. Pray for me. Pray for me, Snyder. Just sit there praying for me. Out. Somebody say out.
Out.
Somebody say out.
Out.
I am telling you that the Holy Ghost is coming to you to get out.
Yes.
Okay. Stop. You can play. But Nate talked to us about the Ark of the Covenant. And that the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines. Do they have the potential to put that map up for us today? Is it close? Can you show the map of the traveling of the Ark of the Covenant? Do you have that ability while I'm talking?
Sevick will figure it out.
They'll figure it out while you're doing it. Then I just want you to explain that another time. Because the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament represents the Spirit of God. It's where God lived. He said, in Exodus chapter 25, if you need to look it up, he said, I want you to make me a sanctuary, and I'm going to live there. And I want you to build this ark. It's a golden box. On top of it, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant is a golden lid with two angels that face one another, two made of gold. And he said, we're going to call that the mercy seat, the lid. That's the atonement cover, so that the highest thing in the tabernacle is mercy. The highest thing is atonement. In the box will be old miracles. Manna, Aaron's rod, a stick that had buds on it to show who's in charge, and the tablets of the law. But he said, I want you to put that in the box. And on top of all of that, mercy. He said, I know you got religion, but I wish you knew what mercy was about. Mercy. Okay, Nate, sit up there. Help me, Nate. Calm me down.
I can't calm you down. Yeah, but you messed up, man. You said a bad word in church already. This thing is out of control. The upper right-hand corner of this map, you know that, as Pastor described the Ark of the Covenant, it was carried along with the rest of what they call Moses' tabernacle. The plan that God showed to Moses was carried through the wilderness while the children of Israel wandered and meandered. When they finally arrived at their home, the destination, the land of promise, they had to decide where the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle would live. And they chose, because Joshua was the general that led them into the promised land and won, helped them to win all the battles, they chose property where Joshua lived, and that was called Shiloh. Was part of the tribe of Manasseh that he was part of. I believe that's right. And anyway, you see, can you see the red dot with the yellow circle? The words I can tell are probably too small for many of you to see, but that says Shiloh. And the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant lived there for hundreds of years during the entire time of, a lot of you know the Bible history, the judges, while the judges ruled in Israel. And right at the end of that period, under the leadership of Samuel, the children of Israel were attacked by the Philistines. The Philistines lived over there on that left side of the screen where it says Tel Aviv, Joppa, Ashdod. It's right on the Mediterranean Sea. And the Philistines attacked, and they came over into the land of Israel. And Israel was getting beat up in this battle. And somebody had the brilliant idea, we're losing, we should take the Ark of the Covenant, the thing that represents the presence of God, we should carry that out into battle, and we'll use that like a, I don't know, a talisman or good luck charm. And they carried it out into the battle as though that was going to help them win the battle. And indeed, the opposite thing happened. They lost the battle, and they also lost the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the presence of the Lord. They lost the place where the mercy seat was, and the Philistines took it, and they carried it. They were fighting that battle in Ebenezer. You see that by the big 1 Samuel 3:6, and the Philistines carried it to their high place where they worshiped the god Dagon, down there in the lower left corner, Ashdod, and the Ark was there for a short time because, you want me to tell all this? The Ark was just there for a short time because it didn't work out so good. The Ark of the, thank you, technical media pastor. What do I push, Steve? You know I can't read. Oh, I see it. Yeah, right there. So right there where that little dancing red dot is, there was a temple to the god Dagon, and turns out Jehovah and Dagon did not get along. And while the priests of Dagon were away, Jehovah knocked Dagon down, knocked his head off and his arms, and left him laying on the ground. In addition to that, the people that lived in that city of Ashdod became oppressed with death, rats, and hemorrhoids. Okay, but that's what's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. You can look it up. And the people of Ashdod said, we don't like the Ark of the Covenant. Let's get it out of here. So they moved it out. They sent it to this town right here. It went down the road to Ekron. And there, similar things happened. And by similar, I mean they got hemorrhoids too. So what they ended up doing, the Philistines had this amazing idea. They said, let's make a golden hemorrhoid and a golden rat as offerings to Jehovah, and then we'll send the Ark back to Israel. And they did that. They put the Ark of the Lord on a ox cart, and they pointed it toward Israel, and the ox cart led over here. And over here in this place called Beth Shemesh, or something to that effect, it's an Israelite town, people started dying there too. And these people said, well, we don't really want the Ark of the Presence of the Lord either. And eventually it went over to a guy's house in this place called Kiriath Jearim. And there it sat while Samuel died, while Saul became king, and while he ruled the people of Israel for at least 40 years. The Ark of the Lord sat right there. Meanwhile, the tabernacle, the tent that the Ark was housed in, the place you've heard of, the Holy of Holies, that place was moved. This tent went down to Nob. Nob, that's correct. The name of the town is Nob. And there it sat until Saul came there and killed all the priests. There's some crazy stories if you read your Old Testament. He killed all the priests and moved the tabernacle up here. But this was an empty tabernacle. It had all the furniture, all the sacrifices were offered. It had all the priests. It had all the commotion. It had the tent. It had the veil. But behind the veil, if you went to the Holy of Holies, if you journeyed in past the ark where they, or past the altar where they made sacrifices, if you went past the washing of the water, if you went past the altar of incense, which represented worship. Worship was happening. There just was no presence of God. The Holy of Holies was not, it was only called the Holy of Holies because the Holy One was not in there. Okay, I think I made my point. At the time when Saul died, David became king. And the first order of business that David instituted was bring back the ark. This is brilliant. I mean, we've been hearing about David, and this is an amazing moment in his life. When he became king, the first thing he did was send word, bring back the ark. And as you know, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, they had put it on an ox cart, which was inappropriate. It was not supposed to be done that way. He was copying the Philistines, maybe. And while that happened, somebody reached up and touched the ark as though they were going to help God out for a second. And that person was struck dead instantaneously. Do you know this story? This is some amazing stuff. And because that happened, David was filled with fear and some anger toward God. And he said, I changed my mind. I don't want the ark. And they left it in this place called Obed-Edom. And after 3 months, David couldn't take it anymore. This is what I love about David. Like, he was scared, he was mad, he was afraid of the presence of God. He didn't want the ark anymore. He thought it was too much trouble or too dangerous. He didn't want hemorrhoids. Nobody really does. But after 3 months, he couldn't stand it anymore. And he sent again for the Ark of the Covenant, this in this place, Obed-Edom, where it was living. Staying, he said, bring it, don't just bring it back to the tabernacle, don't just put it back in the tent, yes. Don't put it in the Holy of Holies, put it by my place. If you look it up, here in Jerusalem, there's an area called the City of David, and there's a hill there where David set up a simple tent, and he had them bring the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it to rest here in Jerusalem. And there David offered his sacrifices. He appointed worshipers and singers, Levites, to be continually around the Ark of the Lord's presence 24/7. Right there in Jerusalem. He said, don't put it back in Joshua's town. Don't ever let it go over here again. No more vacation. Put it right in my backyard. And there was complete access to the Ark of the Covenant for that brief period of time while David was king in Jerusalem. Is that what you want to know?
Well, I want to know.
All right. Here's Pastor.
And that lets me calm down. Thank you.
Do you want that?
Thank you very much. No. And David built a tent. And he put the Ark of the Presence of God in the tent. And people could see it. People could go to it. The last few psalms, if you'll look at your Bible, it will have over the chapters the psalms of ascent. They would sing as they went up into the presence of God. Something happened in David's mind. It's no longer fearful. It's no longer judgment. It's no longer about the law, and it's not behind a veil. God wants out. God wants out. Mercy is going to be built up forever, David said. Solomon is appointed by David to build the temple, and soon after David dies, Solomon builds a temple. And they build the temple almost in the same pattern as the tabernacle. And they take that Ark of the Covenant and they put it back behind a veil, almost going in reverse. It's almost like the idea. It was almost like they backslid. It's almost like they went backwards. Because David understood that God wants, he wants mercy out. He wants people to have mercy. He wants to have mercy on people. That's the heart of God. God does not intend to hurt you. It is not God's joy to judge and hurt you. You have been judged, but because of Jesus, The judgment is mercy instead of death. God doesn't want to destroy you. Hear me. God is not going to destroy the United States of America. Amen. When those guys on television say that, turn the suckers off. Don't send them any more money. God's not mad at America. He's not mad at Russia. He's not mad at the Muslims. He's not mad at Buddhists. He's everywhere loving everybody. And if the church would get itself in line, we'd tell people what Jesus already did for them instead of scaring them to death. I am opposed to that river of religion. I'm standing in the middle of the river right now, and it's going by me like crazy, and I'm standing here saying, that's not true. God never did want to kill people. That wasn't the plan. I'm not getting one amen. Not one. Let me just ask you something. Did anybody ever wonder why when God said to Adam, I've never preached this before, God said to Adam, in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. He ate. Did he die? Somebody answer me. No, he didn't die that day. Then the day you eat of it, you'll die. No, he didn't. Just be honest. No, he didn't. And that's confusing. Because God said it. Daggone it, then he had mercy on him. Makes me mad. Didn't do what he said. Needs a kick hind end here. Said he'd kill him and didn't kill him. What kind of a God is that? That's called mercy. Swallow that. Let that rule your theology. He didn't kill him. He covered him. And you ought to be thankful too, because he's covering your hide. And I'm telling you, I got Bible. I do too. I'm telling you that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. I'm preaching the new covenant to you. I'm telling you that David saw something. He recognized God wants mercy to be for everybody. He doesn't want it to be behind the veil. They put it behind the veil. And then when Jesus died, three temples later, you got Solomon's temple, and then you got Zerubbabel's temple that was built smaller than Solomon's temple, was recovered. And then you got Herod's temple, which is built in the modern time of Jesus, and they've got the thing behind the veil. And when Jesus died, what did God do? He did it again. Break out. Tear it out. And he said, I'm going to fill you with the Spirit. We read it. Out of you is going to come living water. When you get the Holy Ghost, and I'm telling you, I need some amens from some of the Pentecostals in the crowd, because when growing up Pentecostal, the most important thing you could do was get it. If I could just get it. Did you get it? Has he got it? And God is saying now, it's not about getting it, it's about giving it. There's a revolution. There's a step being taken by the church where God is saying, I've given you gifts. There's something in you because the Spirit put it in you. It's not all the same. You got something, you get something else. You get something else. Don't value one higher than the other, just like your body. Don't make your eyes the most, I love my wife's eyes. Don't let your eyes be the most important thing. Don't let your hands be the most, how about your toe? Let's be thankful we got big toes. Let's be thankful somebody in this church has a gift. It's an elbow. Thank God we got, are you hearing me? God didn't make us all alike. So quit cussing each other and putting each other down because your color's not right, your sex is not right, where you go to church is not. God put us all together, one big body. Why? So that he could come out. So that he can use us, so that you can have great joy, so that you can shout, so you'd be free at work on Thursday and be alive on Friday and come to church on Sunday. Well, you know, Jimbo comes to get shot in the arm with some of it, but I come because I got so much in me. If I don't get it out of me, I'll go nuts. I got to find some place where I can shout and dance and lift my hands and holler real loud. Somebody say out. Okay. My final point, until next Wednesday, my final point. I want you to be perfectly honest with me. I need your help. We can do this in about 3 minutes. Perfectly honest, honest to God. How many of you, when you sing in the shower or in the car, when you're by yourself, you truly like your voice? You like it. Come, be honest. Listen, this is the truth. You'd ask Tara if this is not truth. I told my kids I gave Elvis singing lessons. I got my grandkids believe, I taught Michael Jackson how to dance. That's what I tell. Okay, I need to see the lovers of your voices. Real high, Joe, I know Joe. Do you, Red, you gruff old dog, come here. Come here. You come here. Keep your hands up. Come, sister. Come, Jim. Come. I sat by him. Listen, you know what? I know he. Here we go. That's right. You know, white men can't jump. Black guys can dance, right? And, you know, black. When Nate, how about Nate's song today? Is that the most incredible thing you've heard in your life? How about that coming up, a white boy? But I'm going to tell you something. This guy cannot sing, okay? He thinks he can, but he's terrible. I sing better than a black man. I do. I'm going to just say that today. I'm proud of myself because at least I stand key. He sings so loud, he forgets whatever the music is. He just bellers. But he said he thinks he likes his voice. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding me, man. No, I'm not done. Up here. Come in, all this group. I'm not done, Red. Come. There were 50 people hand their hands up, you chickens. I want to know who likes to hear yourself sing. Come here. Come here by me. Did you do it? Come on. You like to hear yourself? Don't you sing? When you sing, do you think, man, this is beautiful? And sometimes it's probably right. But right, isn't it? Come on. Come on. Oh, look at it. Look, I want you to look how everybody back down now that you guys stood up. I need 6 more. Elizabeth, you think you can sing? To yourself. No, none of that kind. You look, there's some people that can sing, actually can sing.
And preach.
You can preach too, Joe. I can too. All right, come on. One more, 2 more. Come on. You chickens, you said you'd be honest. Come on, if you think you can sing, if you sing in the bath, if you sing in the shower and you go, man, that sounded pretty good right there. Come, 2 more, 3 more. Oh, don't make me call you out. Come on. I saw you. Come on, Courtney. Come on. Behind me, somebody else. Okay. All right, here's what I want you to do. Help me, Nate. Help me, Lori. We need a, what do you say? Wait, maybe E, F, somewhere in that. E. Shh. All right, now we need to do harmony. So we got, and then listen. Oh, there's some people can't sing real bad right now. This is bad. I'm telling you, sound like this is. Would you give me 3 notes so we can do them? Let's do them. Would you try? We'd like all of you chickens.
I'm ready.
I'd like all of you to try. Give me those notes again. We need all the guys. Give me the guys' note. No, Nate.
The guys' note?
The guys' note, which would be the middle one.
Aim a little higher, Mick.
Men. Girls. Ladies. Altos.
Right there.
Everybody together now. Choir. Church. Stop. I think we got like 5 notes instead of just 3 going there. Everybody stand for just a second. Everybody stand for just a second. Stand for just a second. I'm going to do it one more time. Give us those notes. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath. I want you to do it, let's say, for about 10 seconds, just long enough to establish the chord. All ready? Do me the sounds again, Nate. Lori, would you give us, all right, help me. Nate, give us your voice. Ready? Stop. This time, I want you to count to 10. I want you to breathe out. And I want you to hum that same note, breathing in. Ready? Ready? I want you to give me the same note, breathing in. No, wait. I don't mean out. We all got the out thing. I want you to do it breathing in. Ready?
No.
I don't know. There seems to be a problem with it.
The problem is you gotta let it out. You can't make one good sound if you keep sucking all the atmosphere out. You can't make one good sound. Look, you're trying. Someone's still trying. There are people still. Nate's choking. You can be seated. Thank you, Bob. So today, the first time I've ever attempted to pull this off, and I hope it all makes sense to you now. I have, because of my confusion, often prayed to God that He would forgive me. And He already has, and my prayer is futile. It's like barbarians. It's repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And He already said, if you'll forgive, you'll get forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful. They'll get mercy.
Yeah.
And I know this is harsh. It's winter. You're not ready for a big one. But this is the big one. This is it. The moment you're converted and you give, you will receive.
As good as it gives.
This is so incredible. As soon as you do, he said, there's coming a day when the reapers are going to catch up with the sowers. The moment you sow, you're going to reap. It's like if you breathe out one breath, I'll give you one right back. But you're not going to be able to sing sucking it in all the time. You're not going to be a revelation if you're always thinking you got to get it. If you come to church and sit, this has been preached in lots of different ways. But the truth of the matter is we've heard, well, you just can't sit there. You got to participate. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. Is that right? And now I'm telling you, it's your life. This isn't just looking at church. This is saying, God, I want to be like you. Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. Well, what was he doing? He went to the Last Supper and he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood that's poured out for you. Are you hearing me? How do you get resurrection? Yeah, you're broken. How are you going to get life? You pour it out. How are you going to live above the madness that's coming in this goofy world full of confusion and politics? How are you going to rise above that? Well, you're going to pour it out. And I'm going to try to pull this off today. Because all of my life, those who were the clean among us, and if you ever read about Augustine, you'll find out that the war became which priests were clean enough to offer the sacraments. And then there was a holy war to clean up the priesthood because they discovered that the priests were just as dirty as the people. Well, now what are we going to do about that? Because now nobody's baptism is valid. The communion isn't valid because the guy that was serving it was as human as the rest of us. Yeah. So today I'd like you to serve communion.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.